The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
If we look to the answer as to why for so many years we achieved so much, prospered as no other people on earth, it was because here in this land, we unleashed the energy and individual genius of man to a greater extent than has ever been done before.
This great nation will endure as it has endured. Let me assert my firm belief that the only thing we have to fear is fear itself.
Freedom and the dignity of the individual have been more available and assured here than in any other place on earth.
You are about to embark upon the great crusade toward which we have striven these many months. The eyes of the world are upon you. The hopes and prayers of liberty-loving people everywhere march with you.
We're not, as some would have us believe, doomed to an inevitable decline. I do not believe in a fate that will fall on us no matter what we do. I do believe in a fate that will fall on us if we do nothing.
And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
From every mountainside, let freedom ring, and if America is to be a great nation, this must become true. So let freedom ring.
As for the enemies of freedom, those who are potential adversaries, they will be reminded that peace is the highest aspiration of the American people. We will negotiate for it, sacrifice for it. We will not surrender for it, now or ever. We are Americans.
This is Always Right Radio on AM 1420, The Answer. Here's your host, Bob France.
Oh, yes. Indeed, it is 10 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock. And we are underway on this Free for All Friday! Yeah! Mr. Scream is in rare form today. I see you brought the missus along. How you doing, Mrs. Scream? Out freaking standing. Appreciate you being with us for your Friday morning. We've got a lot to talk about today and a lot of time to talk about it. One guest. We have one guest who's going to join us, somebody I haven't spoken to before. At 10:10, top of the second hour, we're going to talk to a lady named Lisa Chafee. Lisa is one of the name plaintiffs in the lawsuit against Hilliard Schools down there outside of Columbus. That was filed. We told you earlier this week, we talked with Josh Brown, the attorney filing that lawsuit over the sexualization and the hidden conversations on sex, sexual identity, gender, and more that are going on amongst teachers and staff in Hilliard schools, with kids without parents' knowledge. Secret conversations that they have absolutely no business whatsoever having with children. None. Zero, nil. And we're going to talk with Lisa. She's one of the named plaintiffs. She is also a leader down there. And by leader, I mean she is the president of the Hilliard Area Republican Club. She is the executive vice president of the Ohio Republican Council of Clubs. And she's the director of Parents' Rights in Education Ohio. So she's in it all the way. Personally, professionally, as a mom with kids in the school. So we're going to talk to her at 10:10. It's a big deal. It's an enormous deal. And while we're on that subject, we're also going to talk more about the continued attempt to infuse our kids' lesson plans and their teachers' game plans and strategies, if not by name, through other means, critical race theory. critical race theory, which of course is grounded in Marxist critical theory. Critical theory just proposes to create enemies, to create a divide, to create two different classes of people and putting everybody in one or the other. One class is oppressors, the other class is victims. Critical race theory does that along racial lines. Critical gender theory does that along gender lines or sex lines. Bottom line is, critical race theory is, of course, being condemned and rooted out in educational systems all over the country. Whenever good people of conscience find it, they try to stop it. They try to root it out. And that's very, very important. Well, here in Ohio, we're trying to root it out, even though we don't have a state law that bans the teaching of critical race theory in our public schools, the way they do in Florida, for example, under the guidance of the brilliant Governor Ron DeSantis. We don't have that here because we don't have a brilliant governor. We got an idiot for a governor. We got an idiot and a little Napoleon who has no interest whatsoever in governing according to the conservative mandate he was given. He acts as a Democrat. So that's DeWine. That's the difference. Not a lot of difference in the letters, DeSantis and DeWine, but boy, in action. Anyway, we don't have that, so we got to do it ourselves. And thanks to an investigation done not by Project Veritas this time, but by Accuracy in Media, numerous school administrators admitted that they and the teachers in their schools are sneakily and covertly introducing CRT to their students, unbeknownst to the parents. And then they have the cover of saying, look, show me in our curriculum. Show me where it says in our curricula, our game plans, our lesson plans, our strategies. Show me anything that says critical race theory. Well, you can't find it because we don't have it. See, we don't teach critical race theory. But this investigation done by Accuracy in Media has found, again, through these hidden camera interviews and mic interviews, that many of these teachers and administrators plan to keep on teaching it, just not by the name critical race theory. They work it into other lessons, other subjects. They work it into private conversations. They work it in the hallways. They push all of the agenda items of critical race theory on these kids whenever and wherever they can. And on video, they are admitting it, and they're proud of it. And they're snarky about it, and they're condescending about it, and they're, who are these stupid idiot parents to think they're smarter than us? That's the mentality, or that's the vibe, I guess, that they give off. They seem to be of the mentality that we're smarter than the parents. We will always be able to warp their kids and mold them in their pre-formative years in the images we want, in our images. That's what they're trying to do, and they admit it openly on these videos. We're going to play some of that for you coming up in a bit as well. So between, you know, social-emotional learning and critical race theory, and obviously comprehensive sex education, CSE, the schools in the state are, like the schools in almost every state, in very, very serious jeopardy as they look to warp the kids who are just very, very impressionable and willing to follow along with whatever their teachers tell them and wanting to regurgitate it back to them for praise and grades, and to make sure that they stay in good with the staff. So we're going to hit all of that today. Also, going to talk today about what's going on at Davos, at least to a small degree. At Davos, you know what's happening. They simply get together and have a kind of a group session of therapy over, not therapy, because that indicates that they themselves are confused or they themselves need help. But they have this group session that I can't describe in terms that are good for the radio, but it starts with circle. And what they do is they get together on their private jets. They all fly in from around the world on their private jets, spewing more carbon into the air than you can even imagine, to get there and decry the spewing of carbon into the air and to talk about how they can shut down the world's most independent, most industrialized nations to stop them from spewing more carbon into the air. Truth be told, of course, they don't give a rat's rear end about carbon because they know the climate change myth that they are pushing on the world is just that. For the purposes of power, for the purposes of global governance, for the purposes of one world government, this is what they do, and they're in Davos. And one thing that came out of it that we will cover this morning is what they believe to be the most existential problem facing the planet. It's not the climate. It's your free speech rights. That's right. They declared, as they gathered together in their little circle blank in Davos, the world's power brokers all got together to declare that free speech is the problem. People get to actually talk and share information that counters the information that we experts put out to the rest of the world. And that has to stop. They call that free speech disinformation. In other words, information and facts that counter their lies. The fact that people are free to spread it and they have the ability to organize themselves because of the online platforms and social media simply terrifies the power brokers in Davos. So we are definitely going to cover that story as well. So we've got school issues. We've got climate lies. We've got free speech attacks. And yes, we also have to discuss this morning the ongoing grift being put forth by the giant pharmaceutical companies like Pfizer, the drug cartel that I will continue to declare is worse and more dangerous than the Sinaloa cartel along our southern border that brings heroin and fentanyl and meth and cocaine into this country. The Pfizer cartel is worse because they have approval and, in fact, promotion by the federal government to push their deadly drugs. The poison darts that they continue to push do not provide inoculation against infection. We have known this for some time now. They continue to tell the lie. And finally, they got caught. Finally, they got caught by some reporters from Rebel News who are willing to do something that American mainstream media journalists, reporters, and I think those words should be in name only because they abandoned the idea of journalism a long time ago. They refused to ask those questions of people like the CDC director, Rochelle Walensky, like director of NIH, Dr. Fauci, who's on his way out now, and like, yes, the CEOs of Pfizer and Moderna and Janssen and all the others. They refused to do it. Well, these reporters did. I shared it with you yesterday. If you missed it, I'm going to share it again today so that you can hear it. And we're going to talk about what this means again going forward. There are massive multi-trillion dollar lawsuits that are already in the works against these companies for their lies, for their not telling people about the potential side effects, and then still pushing through the federal government's propaganda program that everybody must take these jabs, these poison darts, in order to be healthy. So we're going to hit that as well. And, oh, by the way, just let's throw this out there now. Remember yesterday when I told you the story of Ivan Provorov, guy you've never heard of before, hockey player, Russian origin, plays for the Philadelphia Flyers, played in a game on Tuesday after the warm-ups for the game were dedicated to, quote-unquote, pride. The LGBTQ community, for whatever reason, has infiltrated and overtaken one of the most, you know, strikingly testosterone-driven man's games on all the earth. Hockey. And the National Hockey League has a fan base of manly men almost exclusively. Most women aren't into hockey. They're into football more than that. They're not into MMA or hockey. It's fighting, in addition to, of course, the physical style of play and the excitement of the ice and so forth. But this is a sport that's just filled with testosterone and manliness, and somehow, some way, the LGBTQ Rainbow Coalition found a way to overtake and infiltrate hockey. So on Tuesday, they had a pride event at the Philadelphia game in which Philadelphia hosted the Anaheim Ducks, and they came out in rainbow sweaters for the warm-ups and rainbow tape on their sticks as they did their warm-ups. Then they had the regular game, and Ivan Provorov was the only member of the Flyers who did not participate. He would not come out wearing that in the warm-ups, and so he essentially boycotted it, which led to cries of homophobia and transphobia, and how can the Philadelphia Flyers organization keep him on the payroll? How can they put him in the lineup? He actually played on Tuesday night after committing the awful sin of being an individual and not subjecting himself to groupthink. Which, of course, is the ultimate irony. The ultimate irony, because this is what the left, through the LGBTQ community, has been screaming forever. This is what they want. Just let me be me. Just don't judge me and force me to go along with everybody else. Don't judge me for being an individual, for being who I am. Right? That's what the LGBTQ movement is all. Accept me for what I am. Don't judge me that way. So here they have this pride event on Tuesday night. A hockey player says, I'm an individual. Don't judge me for being a Christian. Don't judge me for being me. Don't judge me for making a decision to step aside from the crowd and not participate in that. That is not something I believe in, nor does my religion condone. And oh my goodness, you can't be an individual. You can't be free to think on your own. You must march in the Pride Parade or we will end you. And that is exactly what they tried to do. Now, why did I bring this up again after that happened Tuesday night? Because fast forward to last night's news. Jerseys for NHL player Philadelphia Flyer Ivan Provorov are sold out on almost every website that sells hockey jerseys in men's sizes 2 days later. His shirts are gone. You can't get them. On Fanatics and NHL shop sites, the jersey is not available, only available to be purchased in women's sizes. What did I tell you about the average hockey fan? They're men, and again, they're manly men. They're not, let's stop there. They're manly men, and you can't buy them now. The jersey sold out. People obviously spoke with their wallets and said, this is what we think of your attempt to cancel and destroy the individuality and the right of personal choice, which you used to claim you wanted for yourselves in the LGBTQ community, the right to make your choices on how you live and to be left alone. Here's Ivan Provorov, who wanted the right to make his choices and to be left alone, and you tried to end him. Well, here's what we did. We sold out his jersey. Everybody wants to celebrate the courage of Ivan Provorov. And I will tell you this. If I was just a little bit younger, and if I was watching a little more hockey than I do, I would have bought one myself. Hell, I might just see if I could find one somewhere on a lone website that is left and give it away. I'm too old to be wearing hockey jerseys, but I'll tell you what. I may buy one and give it away. Maybe I'll buy one for my son. And when people ask him, what's Provorov, he's going to have a story to tell, and I think it's an outstanding story to tell. So to all of the customers who made the Ivan Provorov the must-have jersey.
Can you dig it?
Yep. So I've got, I don't know, about 9, 10, 11, 12 hours worth of material to discuss with you today, and I don't know what direction to go in. I'm gonna rely on you largely. That's what Free for All Friday is all about. Pick from that topic list or go off the board and find one of your own. I've got more I haven't even listed yet. But decide what you want to talk about and hit me up, 216-901-0945. 888-281-1110, and we'll take your calls on this Free for All Friday. Before we do anything, though, what do you say we stand and face our flags? Put your hand on your heart and join us for our Pledge of Allegiance. If you are somebody that does not want a Provorov jersey because you think he's a homophobe and he should be canceled, well, clearly you have no idea what that flag actually represents. As such, you are exempted from the request to stand and pledge your allegiance to it. You may instead take a knee next to your favorite ex-quarterback. For the rest of us,
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
926, Always Right Radio, right back after this.
Spreading the light of liberty and holding the line against the darkness of tyranny. Always Right Radio with Bob France on The Answer.
938, good morning. Thanks for being with us on this Free For All Friday. Let's let you decide what we talk about. I've got school stories. I've got Biden document stories. I've got climate stories. I've got COVID stories. I've got Davos stories. I've got First Amendment stories. I am all over the place. I just wish I had 9 hours to do it, but I don't. By the way, on Monday, I will have six. Because I'll be doing the Sebastian Gorka show again on Monday, as I did this past Monday. So we'll have 3 hours together on Monday morning, and then we'll be able to add three more to it on Monday afternoon. So from 3 to 6 on Monday. So we'll have more time to do it. But today, we're a little jam, so I need you to guide us. Maybe be the director here. 216-901-0945 and 888-281-1110. Let's first go to North Olmsted, where BJ is up early and at it. Hey, BJ, good morning. Go right ahead, sir.
Good morning. 1 year before I was born, there was a Great Depression, 1929, and I had the opportunity to see the coming decade from 1930 to 1940, actually 41 when World War II started. And I saw what people did during the Depression and how they handled it. And it was a sad occasion to see what took place, and the WPA was formed, the Works Program, where a lot of bridges and sidewalks and streets were built. But when the Great Depression came, a lot of people that had these beautiful homes like they do now lost them because of what the banks did, what the banks are doing currently, what the banks have always done, and why the bankers have always gotten in trouble eventually. We are in for a Great Depression, which is going to be provoked, not necessary. Why do they want to provoke the chaos? What is the purpose of the chaos? And that's the sadness of what's going on in this beautiful country. There's a group of people that are not happy unless they cause chaos in our world. It's been going on for centuries from the beginning of time, perhaps. And you younger people have to wake up to the reality that you can't just talk about it. You have to do something about it. Now, the fact that they're going to push, particularly after January 1st, to take the guns away from people under this Biden administration, and by the way, Joe Biden has no capability of making these decisions. We have to be aware of that. Somebody else is manipulating that poor puppet. But the awakening is coming. The coming year is going to be the awakening. The churches are starting to draw people again. Some people said they're falling away. Well, I see it quite differently. There's awareness of the spiritual awakening for you young people. But what happened in 29 is about to happen again. It's going to be perpetrated unnecessarily to cause chaos in the country. And for what purpose? For control. So I hope there's more awareness with you younger people. And we'll see what happens after the after this month when we start to get into the new election for the coming year after this one. But anyway, I still have hopes and a positive attitude about the American people. I always will. I have to. It's the country I love, the country I went into service for, and I hope these damn wars stop sometime soon. And I thank you for your time.
Thank you, BJ, for the phone call. Two quick responses. Number one, I am less optimistic about people returning to the spiritual side of things in the churches. I don't know that I see them starting to fill up again. In fact, I see the decline happening faster than ever, and it's because today's kids are being raised, I don't want to say to be atheists, but to not allow their faith to get in the way of their quote-unquote rights. In other words, religious freedom is being stomped on a regular basis, and people are teaching the younger generation that your religious freedoms do not supersede the rights of others. You're not allowed to express yourself. You're not allowed to be guided by your faith if it's going to impact others. And all we have to do is look at the number of cases where people are told you can't do that. You have to serve this person. You have to provide that service and on down the line. So, and truthfully, also just looking at our churches, not getting a ton of leadership from some of them. I don't feel led by our Pope. I don't feel guided by the leaders at the top of the Catholic Church. And the leaders of the other major, you know, religions, whether they be Christianity or Judaism or anything else, I wish I was as optimistic. I wish I was as optimistic about that. But as far as what's coming, yeah, we better be prepared for the worst. Chaos has been coming for a long time. As a matter of fact, it is a part of control. It is a part of the globalist takeover. I'm reminded of a very short scene in Batman Begins. Yeah, I'm a huge fan of that series, not the Marvel series and the wokeness and everything else, but the original, you know, the Batman origin story that is Batman Begins, the one with Christian Bale and, oh goodness, who played Alfred? Mike, very well known, and I'm blanking on him. I know him very well. But at any rate, Alfred is telling Michael Caine, thank you. Michael Caine. Couldn't think of it.
Appreciate that, Johnny. And he's they're trying to, oh, it wasn't even in Batman Begins. It was in the sequel. Beg your pardon. It was The Dark Knight with Heath Ledger's Joker. That's what it was. And they're trying to figure out why the Joker is doing what he's doing, that sort of thing. And Michael Caine told the story, which I can only paraphrase because I don't have it memorized. Why would I? But he talked about working in when he used to be a missionary in Burma or something like that, and they were trying to stop this individual who was stealing some of the most valued jewels ever known or ever produced or whatever. And one day when they were working in the, again, as missionaries going through the jungle, they found kids playing with things, these things they couldn't recognize, and then they looked at them and they realized they were the jewels. They were like these valuable stones, like beyond valuable, priceless stones. And Christian Bale, as Bruce Wayne, as Batman, said, why take them then? And he said, because some people don't want profit. They don't want money. They don't want glory. Some people, and again, this is a total paraphrase, and I apologize, but I do remember the last line. Some men just want to watch the world burn. And I believe those men exist. That's not just Hollywood. That's reality. Some men want to watch the world burn. Others want to set it aflame so that they can then take control of it. Control of the people, control of the resources, control of the wealth, control of the power. Some men want that. Sometimes there's not a legitimate, cogent argument to be made for the evils that men do. Sometimes it's just for the sake of evil, and I think that's real. Thank you, BJ. I went a little further than I planned to there. Beth is in Ashtabula. Beth, thanks for joining us on AM 1420 The Answer. Fire away.
Hi. I want to applaud Ivan Provorov.
Yes. Anyway. Well, let's do that here. Hold on a second. Yeah. He has earned those applause. Go ahead, Beth.
And you cannot get his jerseys, although I did see some that were quite pricey. So, you know, the thing is that people probably aren't real familiar with orthodoxy unless you live in an area where there's a lot of Orthodox. But, you know, orthodoxy in general and Russian orthodoxy in specifically, it's not for the weak-kneed person. They don't change their traditions and their biblical foundations to follow the whims of society like we're seeing in so many mainline, you know, churches are accepting this and that, you know. They don't do that, and I'm glad that he stood up and said this. They don't stick that proverbial finger in the air to see which way the wind is blowing, and if nothing else, you know, I mean, he's taken a lot of heat, but if nothing else, he's maybe made some people say, what is this? You know, some people said, well, he didn't say he was a Christian. He said he was a Russian Orthodox. Well, sorry, that was the first church, so not the Russian, but, you know.
Right, right. No, your point about Orthodox faith, if you will, is 100% true. People have heard it in passing, and they don't always stop to think what it means when they talk about Orthodox Christians or Orthodox Jews or Orthodox. But it is. They're the most hardcore, if for lack of a better term, meaning that they do not deviate from the teachings of their church ever. Like you said, no finger in the air. No, let's see if we can get by with this. Oh, this is kind of a version of that. No. They're super, super strict. And his way is, look, in Russian Orthodoxy, in that church, in, you know, that version, man does not lay with man. And I'm not going to celebrate those who do. And if you want to call me a phobe, whatever. And the best part about it is, in my opinion, is that Provorov was very, very kind when he said, I love everybody and I don't judge anybody, but this is not something that my family, well, let me rephrase, quote, I respect everybody and I respect everybody's choices. My choice is to stay true to myself and my religion. That's all I'm going to say. So he literally saying, be you, go ahead, but let me be me. And isn't that what, you know, what we should all be saying anyway?
Exactly. Yeah. I was impressed with him. So yeah.
I was too. I was. And I will say this too. I was impressed with the response of his coach.
Yeah.
Tortorella, John Tortorella, who said, you know, who responded to critics who said they shouldn't have allowed him to play. They should have punished him for daring to, you know, stand up for his own faith. And his statement was, with Provy, he's being true to himself and his religion. And this has to do with his beliefs and his religion. It's the one thing I respect about Provy. He's always true to himself. And that's where we're at with that. So he didn't bend the knee there and say, we're really sorry for what our guy did. And I'm sorry I let him play. We will learn from this situation and get better in the future. He said, no, this is Provy's belief and he can do what he wants.
Yep.
So love that.
It was interesting.
Thank you. I appreciate the phone call, Beth. Great commentary. Appreciate that. Let's go to Strongsville. Tracy on AM 1420, The Answer. Tracy, good morning. Go
ahead.
Hey,
Bob. Hey, Bob. How are you? You know, I just feel like every single day I wake up, literally, is Gay Pride Day anymore of some sort. It's not a month. It's not. It's an entire year. Every single day, you have some organization, some company, some sporting team that has to wear the shirts and go through, and I don't understand it, to be honest with you. And in terms of Provy, man, that hats off to that guy. He should be allowed to exercise his religion. We have other religions out there that we don't, that you're not even allowed to speak ill of. Example, if you have a certain dress code in a soccer team, but you have a Muslim girl on the team, she has to wear the headgear. She wears it. I don't understand it. We have Muslim countries that have women that aren't even allowed to have anything but their eyes showing, and if they lift their eyes up off the ground, they get beat. But we're constantly attacking Christianity. We're not even looking at these other religions that are doing heinous things to human beings. And if you even do, then you're called a, you know, Islamophobe or anything else. I don't understand it. It's just Christians are bad. Christians are bad. Christians are bad.
Well, and you know, the reason they can get away with that is Christianity is, in my view, which is why it's the one true religion, it's tolerant. You know, if they draw a picture and an image or put on Family Guy sketches and skits where Jesus is portrayed as being, I mean, just the most god-awful things. Mm-hmm. We don't want to blow up their studios. We don't want to stab the people who did those things. But you draw a sketch of Muhammad, and
yeah,
Islam says,
Muhammad. Mm-hmm.
Islam says you must die. Islam says we will kill you. They put out fatwa. They put out anybody who criticizes the prophet. In fact, you know, they will put a price on your head. And that's not just to, you know, specify Islam, but that's the best example of it.
And
specifically,
we
as Christians, we as Christians are tolerant and we are forgiving. You know, we know that Jesus Christ would not, you know, want to harm somebody, much less kill somebody for saying something about him or doing something about him. He would pray, to Father God, his Father and ours for the soul of that individual. But that's what Christianity teaches. And that's why we practice it that way as well.
But I mean, I just feel like every day we wake up and I'm serious, it's like Groundhog Day. Like I watched a basketball game last night, women's Maryland versus Wisconsin. I love women's basketball. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they're donating. I'm like, wait, is it Gay Pride Month again? I feel like it was just Gay Pride Month. It's not till June.
Yeah, and they already get a whole month. They already get a whole month. Everything else gets a day. Anything else that somehow has gotten to be on the calendar, the federal calendar, as being a day to recognize this, that, or the other thing gets a day. Pride Month is an entire month, and they don't even wait until June 1st to start it. They're starting it in January, for crying out loud.
Oh, that's all year. It's all year, every day, I feel. And I'm honestly tired of it. I'm just so sick of it, to be honest with you. And I don't have anything against our gay community. We have lovely people in our gay community. I think there's a distinct separation between the LGBTQ alphabet people and the gay community. There are not, just like we have Black Lives Matter and we have amazing black people who are not part of that organization. I think that they're not the same.
Well, many of them. If people in the gay community align themselves with groups like Gays Against Groomers, I completely concur. I will high-five those people and say, we agree. That is it. Be you, but stop trying to bring kids into it and grooming them to be something that they may not be. Stop trying to recruit people and coerce people, and stop trying to shame people for not using the right pronouns or the pronouns that you believe are right, and so on and so forth. So you're right. The gay community, just generally speaking, is very, very different than the big picture, writ large, LGBTQ plus this, that, the other thing community. And to your point about how they're doing it every single day and it's all year round, they don't even understand how counterproductive this is for them. It's taking people who might ordinarily be sympathetic to whatever their cause might be and making them sick and tired of it, and it's costing them support they might otherwise have gotten because they're beating people over the head.
I believe that's true. But then when you have the government coming in and saying, but no, we are going to support these things. You are going to bow down and lick the boots and use pronouns, and you are going to be canceled if you don't do X, Y, Z, then those people get the power.
And you know what, though? But that steals our resolve, and that's why we're seeing people pushing back in the schools and in so many other places. We're going to talk here in about 15 minutes with a mom who's part of a lawsuit against a school, Hilliard Schools, for doing this, having sexual conversations with young kids without parents' knowledge and, in fact, telling them, shh, keep this between us. That's grooming. That's in the schools, which are government-funded. That means the government is doing this, and now we are pushing back. Our resolve is stronger than ever. That's why these suits are being filed, and that's why school boards are being taken over by parents who actually care about this stuff, and to stop the indoctrination and the grooming of these kids. So the more they do, and thanks for the call, my friend. I appreciate it, Tracy. But the more they do this stuff, the more, how do I want to phrase that? The harder we fight back. Look, I've said it before, and I'll say this again. I said it the day after the Provorov story broke. LGBTQXIA blah, blah, blah activists are predators. They literally hunt for prey. They stalk communities, online communities especially, looking for someone to prey upon for refusing to either fly their pride flag, march in their pride march, agree that drag shows are appropriate for children, or for using the wrong pronouns. Then they proceed to attack the lives and the careers of those people, the prey that they find. They do not seek tolerance of their views. They do not believe in tolerance. They believe in obedience, and they believe in full-on surrender to their agenda. And if you don't surrender, that pack of predators will eat you and destroy you. They believe in punishment for anyone who refuses. That's how they can have year-round, 12-month a year, 365 days a year, Pride Month or Pride Days. They are predators. Seeking prey every day. I'll be back.
You and I have a rendezvous with destiny. We'll preserve for our children this, the last best hope of man on earth, or we'll sentence them to take the last step into 1,000 years of darkness.
Always Right Radio with Bob France on AM 1420. The Answer.
Onward, 10 minutes after 10 o'clock. It is the 20th morning of the first month of the year of our Lord, 2023. And yes, it is indeed a free-for-all Friday! Yeah. Yes, indeed it is. Great calls in the first hour. I know we've got more to come. We've got one interview, and we're going to do that interview right now. This is a big deal. Earlier this week, you heard me in a pretty in-depth conversation with the attorney who has filed a lawsuit on behalf of 8 parents against Hilliard School District for a variety of things, the most important of which is hiding private conversations about sex, sexual orientation, gender, and more from parents. Unqualified, untrained, non-psychological professionals trying to get kids to open up about what their gender and their sexual experiences and their feelings are. Completely a violation of their, I guess we'll call it the pact, I think, that exists between teachers and parents. Parents expect teachers to teach them things that they cannot teach them. Things like, you know, biology, meaning literal biology. Dissecting frogs and fetal pigs. Teach them algebra, maybe even calculus when you get to high school. Teaching them how to understand and interpret literature. These are things that we trust teachers to do. They're trained in that. Anything beyond that is a complete violation of that pact, a violation of that trust. We decide how we are going to raise our children, what we're going to expose our children to, at what age is the right age to expose our children to things like sex and sexual attraction, yes, maybe even sexual orientation. And we certainly deserve and reserve the right to inform our children of the biological, anatomical, genealogical, chromosomal reality that there are only two genders. There are boys and there are girls, and that's it. But at Hilliard, they believe otherwise. At Hilliard, they believe they should raise the kids and the parents should step aside. As a matter of fact, they're not even telling them to step aside. They just went ahead and did this without their knowledge, trying to hide it from them. Don't even step aside. Just shh, don't tell them. So Josh Brown told us about the lawsuit. Now we're going to talk to somebody who is a part of that lawsuit. She is one of the named plaintiffs in this lawsuit. She is also the director of Parents' Rights in Education Ohio, an important organization, in addition to being the president of the Hilliard Area Republican Club and the executive vice president of the Ohio Republican Council of Clubs. She is Lisa Chafee. Am I saying it right? Is it Chafee, Lisa?
Yes, Chafee.
I was torn between Chafee and Chaffee. I went with Chafee. I'm glad I got it right. Lisa Chafee, one of the parents named named plaintiffs, I should say, in this lawsuit against Hilliard Schools. Lisa, thanks for coming on this morning. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you for having me.
Lisa, when did you first learn of some of the things going on in the schools involving your kids and other kids that we have eventually, and this is a story that's been brewing for a while now that led up to this lawsuit. When did you first learn that some of these conversations were being held in the schools without yours and other parents' knowledge?
It really came to the forefront over the summer. I had a lot of parents reaching out to me privately through social media, telling us what their kids were experiencing. So a group of parents and I went to the superintendent. We asked him, what is this district's policy? And they have refused to answer, other than to say, and we have him on record stating, Title IX tells them they can't tell parents when there are gender dysphoria, mental health issues with our kids. And I have to stress that, you know, there's two interpretations of Title IX. We have the written text, and then we have the Biden administration's interpretation, which has been 22 states have sued in the federal court in Tennessee that has been placed under an injunction. So they're not allowed to use those proposed changes, but that is what Hilliard is doing. They're using those proposed changes to withhold information from parents.
Okay. That's a very important distinction. What is written, the actual text and the language of Title IX that has gone and served well girls and young women, particularly when it comes to their opportunities in sports and other extracurriculars, that they have equal access to the same thing that males do. For 50 years, this has been a very, very important thing. So you're telling me that Hilliard has said that because Joe Biden said this is how we interpret Title IX, even though it is not effective federal law, this is how we interpret it. They've gone ahead and said, yeah, us too, in what we now know to be a full violation of the actual written law.
Correct. And as a matter of fact, the U.S. Department of Agriculture even said, if you don't enforce these proposed changes, we're going to withhold federal lunch money.
Right. Yeah. So that the poor kids who can't afford their regular lunches, who get either reduced price or free lunches. And we went through this battle here in Ohio, and that's what makes this even more interesting. And I want to talk about that a little bit here, because the school board, the Ohio Board of Education, that is, had this very protracted in the late fall, all the way really into the winter, this protracted fight over a resolution that says we will not adopt those changes, and we are going to send a message. We want the superintendent of schools in Columbus to send a message to every district in the state of Ohio that the state of Ohio does not support and does not adopt the Biden administration's proposed changes to identify girls who are protected by Title IX as anybody that says, I'm a girl, regardless of whether or not they are. So this was a very protracted fight. It did end up in the board eventually passing the resolution, and Hilliard again continues to say, well, they thumbed their nose at it, right?
Pretty much, yes. And the sad part is, which really makes this even more dire, we had a situation of a 13-year-old middle school student who for several weeks was having severe anxiety and depression, having to leave her classroom. And the father reached out to me on October 29th He had received a call the day before that his daughter was suicidal and needed to come get her. And it turns out several teachers knew this child was having this mental health crisis, but because gender dysphoria was involved, they chose not to tell the parents until she became suicidal. And it was a student, a fellow student, who recognized that she was suicidal and got her the help. Can you imagine what would have happened if this child had not? And this, I mean, all because they're afraid, they're basing their decision that, oh, if we out the kid, the parent might beat them up or send them to conversion therapy, or they're going to be abusive, and thereby denying the parent their opportunity to just shower this vulnerable child with all the love and support that most parents would do.
We are talking with Lisa Chafee. She is one of the named plaintiffs in the lawsuit against Hilliard Schools. What's up with that father? Has there been a lawsuit, or has there been any kind of corrective action taken there after he found out what they did? They kept all of this from him to the point where the girl was suicidal and didn't tell him?
Well, fortunately, I want to let you know she's doing well. The school has denied everything from what the father has told me. Of course, the district can't comment because it's a private situation. I don't know if they are going to file a lawsuit or not. Their focus right now is making sure their daughter is healthy, and they've removed her from the district. But it's very frustrating that the superintendent has accused us in his press release of misrepresenting the facts, especially with the pronoun surveys. And he issued a statement to the entire district at the beginning of the school. You're not allowed to ask students what their preferred pronouns are. And yet the first week of school, we had six different teachers give surveys to their students asking them what their preferred pronouns are.
What, if any, corrective action was taken there? Was there any punitive measures taken by the administrators saying, hey, teachers, we told you not to do this. Those of you who did, this happens?
No, of course not. The initial response was, we did not communicate that well. So they reissued the statement, and lo and behold, it happened again. So
why should such communication? Yeah, why should such communication even be necessary? I mean, seriously, your job as a teacher, and I'm not telling you anything you don't know. You're very close to this, but their jobs as teachers are to educate the kids, not dive inside of their heads and try to, maybe inquire through inquiry, suggest that they should have different pronouns. They should have personal pronouns to be special, to be unique, to be different, et cetera, rather than just letting a kid be a kid. A boy being a boy and a girl being a girl, as has always been the case. Why are they literally trying to suggest to the kids through these inquiries that, you ought to be considering something other than what you are?
Yeah, I can't explain it. All I can tell you is we have a very small group of activist teachers and administrators. I do believe the majority of our teachers think like us. They're terrified to step forward because they're afraid of the union leadership, as is the superintendent. They're afraid of the union, of the teachers striking over these issues. But yet, it's not even just that. They're actually violating First Amendment rights of teachers. They have told a teacher friend of mine in writing, he doesn't have First Amendment rights to refuse to use a child's preferred pronouns, even though it goes against his Christian values.
There have been lawsuits filed over that very thing in other places around the country, and they are coming back in favor of the teacher because the First Amendment right absolutely protects against compelled speech in addition to protecting against having speech censored or suppressed. So I certainly hope there's corrective action there. If you can tell, I've become very litigious over these issues because we cannot seem to get anything done unless we get a court to say it must be done. The radical left-wing LGBTQ promoting and grooming and coercing teachers unions, from the AFT to the NEA to the OEA, they have all of the power, and they seem to have the administrators on the run. The administrations can't stop them. They can't do anything to punish them. They probably have language in their contract saying that this is what they're going to do and how they're going to do it. So if we can't get things done that way, then we've got to get it done, you know, with a swing of a gavel. We need to get in the right courtrooms with the right places and have teachers and parents fight for their rights. And I'm glad that's what you guys are doing. This was kind of a last recourse, wasn't it?
It is a last recourse. I mean, all they had to do was simply answer the question, what's your policy? We're not trying to dictate policy to them. This is all about a parent's right to know. These are our kids, not theirs. And you know, we have to stop letting the children, and I stress the word children, dictate and control these conversations. And that is what they're doing. It's all about the kids' feelings. And we want children to feel safe. We want children to be valued. We want children to know they have a place to go. But that first line of defense is their parents. And for the district to say, you know, we know best, that's inherently wrong. And there's a broader, you know, longer discussion that we could get into while this is happening.
Yeah. And we will, but Lisa, I want to hit something super quick that you just mentioned. You said, look, this is all about a parent's right to know. You don't want to dictate policy. You just want to know what the policy is. And I hope it goes further than that, because it's not just I want a right to know if you're sexually interrogating my kids, asking them about their attractions and asking them about their feelings and whether or not their body matches their mind and all this other crap that puts this stuff into kids' heads. I want more than just to know that it's happening. I want to know that it's stopping. I want to know that those I'm here badges are gone. I want to know that they're not putting a QR code on their chest that send kids by scanning it with their phones to seeking out pornographic explanations and displays of sexual activities that may or may not arouse them. I want to know that stuff is stopped, not just know that it's going on. You know what I mean?
Yes, exactly. And we are, as a parent, and me as Director of Parents' Rights and Education, have reached out to board members that we want to work with the district. They are supposed to. It's in their own policies that they are supposed to be partnering with parents. We want to help create good policy, like with them, that meets these needs, that focuses on the academics, that stops the sexualization. Let's have character education. You can teach children how to respect themselves and others without having to bring in teaching about specific sexual acts. And just let's do what's best for the kids. Yes, let's take mental health seriously, but the parents have to know. It is our right. And when they withhold that information, they are not only violating our rights, but they are denying us and the children the opportunity to have love and support. And God forbid, if there is a parent who reacts negatively, there's programs out there to help them. There's Child Protective Services. There's other LGBT groups that are specifically designed to help them. We have got to work together. And this is a bigger issue than what people realize.
Oh, it absolutely is. Last question for you, because we're just about out of time here. We're talking to Lisa Chafee, Director of Parents' Rights in Education, Ohio, and the one of the plaintiffs in the lawsuit against Hilliard. About those I'm Here badges, are they still there?
Unfortunately, yes, they are still there, and that's part of our lawsuit, is we are asking for them to be removed.
And what is their defense of these things, especially given, and you put this in this press release that you guys sent out, about the lawsuit. I can't say most of the words that are contained in this in that text that they can get from scanning the QR code and that you put in the press release. Sex acts that don't get enough play, including and featuring words and phrases that I won't read on the radio, but they're graphic and they're highly inappropriate for children, particularly young children. What's their defense of that? That this is okay to do?
Their defense is, well, we covered up the QR code with tape. The teachers know that what's on that link is for teacher resources, but the main issue is that we want the LGBTQ students to know they're safe. And the biggest concern with that is, as I'm sure you know, we just had a teacher at Darby High School who resigned amid accusations of inappropriate sexual relations with a female student. Can you imagine if he had been wearing that badge that
said
safe person?
Yeah, they're not. It's so not that, about keeping LGBTQ kids safe. It is about creating and recruiting more LGBTQ students to be a part of the movement. This massive movement that has been undertaken now, and it is disgusting and reprehensible. That and I will say, Lisa, just super quick, your children are still in Hilliard schools?
Yes, I have one son who's a sophomore. Yes.
Okay. Why? If I might ask, you mentioned that the suicidal girl's dad took her out of there, and certainly understandably and rightfully so. With all this stuff going on here, I salute you for fighting, but I also have to ask, why not bail? Why not get her out of there, or him, I'm sorry, get him out of there and find another school or homeschool?
Well, I'm a single parent, and I work two jobs. I cannot afford to put him in private school. I wish I could. Mm-hmm. And fortunately, he's at one of the high schools that I'm for his protection. I'm not going to say which one.
Sure.
But we have a great relationship. This particular high school doesn't seem to have too many of these problems. And I work well with his teachers, so I'm comfortable with him. And plus, I've raised my son right, and he knows when not to get sucked into all that stuff.
Got it. Good for you.
I would like to mention, too, just real quick, killyourparents.com. If anybody wants more information about the status of the lawsuit, what it's about, if they want to contribute to our legal fund, go to killyourparents.com.
Happy to promote that. Absolutely. And again, I love the fact that you are standing there and fighting and joining this lawsuit. I hope more. I hope it's more than eight. I hope more people find their courage and find the guts to stand up, if not just for their kids, but for other kids coming down the line so that they're not subjected to this nonsense. So, Lisa Chafee, Director of Parents' Rights in Education, Ohio. We will steer people to HilliardParents.com. Thank you for coming on and sharing the story, and we look forward to following it wherever it goes, and we'll chat with you again.
Thank you. God bless.
Thank you. God bless you, too. It's 1028. We'll be back.
Giving you reason in the age of unreason. Always Right Radio with Bob Frantz and The Answer.
Yes, indeed. Appreciate you being with us. 10:38. Good Friday morning to you. Thanks again to Lisa Chafee for joining us on just the embarrassing, dangerous indoctrination continuing to happen at our schools. And if it's not on gender or sex or sexuality or sexual attraction or sexual orientation inappropriately with young kids, if it's not pushing drag shows. And did you see that one, by the way? There's another one I was going to hit just super quick. Parents aren't being told when their kids are being brought to drag shows. Drag queen. You know, I'm going to say this. I've said it before, and I'm going to say it again. In all seriousness, if a grown male stripped down to his underwear, right? If a grown man stripped down to his Hanes or his tighty whitey Fruit of the Looms, or God forbid worse, and proceeded to approach your kid and shake his half-naked self in front of them, crawled around on all fours, stopping to pose his rear end at them, rolled over onto his back and spread his legs wide in front of them. If a grown male did that to your kids, or in a room full of kids, and other adults, what do you think would likely happen? I think you know what would happen. He would probably get the hell beaten out of him and have the cops called on him. Because it's highly inappropriate. It's highly dangerous. It is predatory. It is, what else? It's pedophilia. If a grown man stripped to his underwear and does such things in front of children, he's going to have the cops called on him. However, if that grown man puts a wig on his head and some lipstick and says, I'm a female, despite his 5 o'clock shadow, and his, well, male genitalia and anatomy, if he just says, no, it's okay because I think I'm a female, or I'm pretending to be one, suddenly instead of being arrested, he gets applauded? Wait, what? That's a real thing. That actually happens all the time. It used to be that those bizarre, perverted, deviant displays happened at adult-only clubs, 18 and over, or adult-only shows, 18 and over. Suddenly, somebody decided the best way to help groom kids into an alternative lifestyle is to do this to them when they are very, very young. Read to them dressed as a woman. Dance for them dressed as a woman. Give them little dollars to put in their underwear as they dress and act as women. Teach them to dance and wear the stuff themselves. This is happening everywhere. Somebody decided this is okay. This is not predatory. That this is not coercion. This is not grooming. This is happening everywhere. Well, in Wisconsin, I believe is the story I'm looking for in Wisconsin. Parents are outraged that there was an event that was held that is supposed to be some sort of affirmation event or another. And in part of the event and the trip that these kids took was a drag show. The parents were not informed. Very similar to what we're talking about informing in the Hilliard story that I just talked about with Lisa. I don't understand what world this is when that is accepted. If a man, as I said, picture a guy just getting off the job at the factory, and he goes over to a room full of kids in a library and strips down to his underwear and does a dance and shakes his underwear'd A in the kids' faces. That guy's getting arrested, if not hospitalized. You don't do that in front of kids. But as long as he stops and puts on a wig and throws on some lipstick and maybe some fake eyelashes, it's all good. It's, yay, how inclusive, woo, how diverse, oh, how wonderful an individual. What? Somebody make that make sense to me. And while we're on that subject of teaching this stuff to the children, I do want to hit this story out of Florida. Then we'll go to your phone calls. This one isn't about gender theory being pushed in schools. This one is going back to CRT. Over the last 2 days, the internet and social media, and particularly Twitter, has been filled with leftists raging at Florida Governor Ron DeSantis. Because Florida Governor Ron DeSantis rejected a proposed AP, that means it's advanced placement for college credit, AP African American Studies course to be taught in Florida's public schools. He rejected it. This happened on Wednesday. And for the last 48 hours, the internet is filled with people screaming that Ron DeSantis is a racist who's trying to cancel black history. He's trying to cancel blacks, period. In fact, they're saying that Governor Ron DeSantis, famous already for the Don't Say Gay bill, is now doing Don't Say Black. They're not allowed to teach African-American studies in Florida schools? Oh, my gosh. And the left is just going nuts. And the problem, of course, is, as always, when it comes to the radical left, none of it is true. The course that Governor Ron DeSantis rejected and his team rejected for college credit and teaching at Florida public high schools is a pilot tested program that featured explicit CRT, intersectionality, and queer theory. It branded white people as racists. It celebrated black queerness and continued to promote the notion that there are two groups of people. There are oppressors and there are victims, and they can always be identified by their skin colors. That's what he rejected. Quoting from the Florida Standard, Governor Ron DeSantis and the DOE, that's Department of Education in Florida, once again made national headlines when it rejected an advanced placement African American studies course. The Florida Standard obtained a copy of the course syllabus. How about that? Rather than trusting Twitter, let's go to the syllabus and reviewed the proposed material. Topics include black queer studies, post-racial racism, and colorblindness. On January 12th, the Department of Education's Office of Articulation sent a letter notifying the College Board the state was rejecting its request for state approval of this course. The letter stated that, quote, as presented, the content of this course is inexplicably contrary to Florida law and significantly lacks educational value, end quote. At the same time, the letter notes that in the future, should College Board be willing to come back to the table with a lawful, historically accurate content, FDOE will always be willing to reopen the discussion. Section 4 of the syllabus of this quote-unquote African-American studies course introduces the topic post-racial racism and colorblindness and features texts from Eduardo Bonilla Silva, who employs critical race theory in all of his writings. Eduardo Bonilla Silva's book, Racism Without Racists, describes how, quote, whites talk, think, and account for the existence of racial inequality and makes clear that colorblind racism is as insidious as ever. The book's second chapter, entitled What is Systemic Racism? Coming to Terms with How Racism Shapes All Whites and Non-Whites. Section 4 includes Black Queer Studies. A description states, this topic explores the concept of queer color critique grounded in black feminism and intersectionality as a black studies lens that shifts sexuality studies toward racial analysis. Gee, I can't believe that the Florida Department of Education and Governor Ron DeSantis rejected this as meaningful college preparatory education. The problem is, in April of last year, 2022, Governor DeSantis signed a law known as the Stop Woke Act. The acronym WOKE stands for Wrong to Our Kids and Employees. Stop Woke. The bill was also known as the Individual Freedom Act, and it prohibits the teaching or instruction that espouses, promotes, advances, inculcates, or compels students or employees to believe any of the following eight concepts. Prohibited teachings include members of one race, color, natural origin, or sex are morally superior to members of another. A person, by virtue of his or her race, color, or natural origin, or sex, is inherently racist, sexist, or oppressive. A person's moral character or status is either privileged or oppressed, is necessarily determined by his or her race, color, natural origin, or sex. Members of one race, color, national origin, or sex cannot and should not attempt to treat others without respect to those groups. A person, by virtue of his, those things, bears responsibility for or should be discriminated against or receive adverse treatment because of actions committed in the past by other members of that group. Six, a person, by virtue of his race, color, national origin, or sex, should be discriminated against or received adverse treatment to achieve diversity, equity, or inclusion. In other words, you cannot punish some kids in order to balance the books. You cannot start suspending or giving detention or any other kind of punitive language or punitive actions toward people of one group simply to balance the books and match the numbers of people in another group. Seven, a person, by virtue of his race, color, sex, or national origin, bears personal responsibility for and must feel guilt or anguish or other forms of psychological distress because of the actions in which the person played no part, committed in the past by other members of the same race. In other words, white kids can't be made to feel guilty or shamed of their skin color because of the transatlantic slavery. And such virtues as merit, excellence, hard work, fairness, neutrality, objectivity, and racial colorblindness are racist or sexist, were created by members of a particular race or color, national origin, or sex to oppress members of another. So in other words, none of those things are allowed to be taught for obvious reasons, because none of those things are true. They are simply political, ideological tools to continue to further the divide. So what Governor Ron DeSantis did and what the Florida Department of Education did was they worked very, very hard at this to stop the left from furthering the divide among the races, and particularly between blacks and whites. And according to the left, freaking out about this, what they have done is they've put a bill out there that says don't say black. It is just so, I don't know, can I just overuse the word evil? Are there synonyms for evil? Demonic? I mean, I don't know. This is the demonic, evil agenda of the left. Divide us in any and every way we can as oppressors and victims, and then blame those who are trying to unify the two races and call them racist. Tell them that they created a don't say black bill. Our schools are in so much trouble. Between the interview that I just did with Lisa about what's going on at Hilliard and this nonsense going on there, and in Virginia, 17 schools. We told you the story about the one school, the Thomas Jefferson School of Science and Technology. Turns out it's 17 schools withheld national merit scholarship awards for bunches of students who earned them. And we're not just talking about didn't notify them and therefore, well, they still got their certificate. It just wasn't made public. They didn't give it to them, which cost them money and scholarship opportunities. It's theft. And the reason why? They didn't want the non-winners of those scholarships to feel bad, particularly since the overwhelming number of those who received the awards were Asian. And we can't have the African-American students who didn't qualify for the awards, when all these Asian students did, we can't have them feeling bad, and we cannot have such an inequitable share of those awards go to one race or ethnicity. Because remember, Asians are minorities too. Asians are quote-unquote people of color. I've talked to Kenny Hsu about this numerous times. Asians are used in whatever way African-American advancement organizations need them to be used. When Asians exceed at an extraordinarily high rate, despite being minorities and persons of color, well, they no longer get that status as a minority group and a person of color. Then they're too white, because they're like the white people. They're privileged. That's why they achieve so highly. But when there is a wave of anti-Asian crime in some way, shape, or form, it's, oh, there's the white people picking on people of color again. Look at that. Donald Trump creating racist tropes and saying that Asians are responsible for COVID-19 and millions of deaths, and it happened in China, calling it the China virus, is leading to attacks on people of color, Asians. Asians are useful tools for whatever the far left, and in particular, the African-American advancement organizations, whatever they need them to be. When they do really, really well, they're too white. They're not like us. Don't dare compare us to them, because we will pale in comparison, even though we are all ethnic minorities and persons of color. Don't do that. They're like white people, not like us. But when they get attacked, they're just like us, and those evil white people are attacking people of color again. It is so dangerous what is happening to our schools right now. And I salute people like Lisa, whom I talked with earlier, Jonathan Broadbent, who I talked to this morning, the Stover, everybody who's working with Protect Ohio Children. It is a dangerous, dangerous time, honestly, to be raising kids in public schools. I hope you find alternatives. I'll be right back. Okay, 10:57. Don't forget, if you don't get on this segment, we still have another hour to go. We will take you all the way until about 11:45, so not quite an hour, but you get the point. So let's hear from you. 216-901-0945 and 888-281-1110. Steve in Collinwood has been waiting patiently. Steve, thanks for the call. You're on the air. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, Bob. If there's two groups of people in this world, I would suggest you avoid them both. So
that's an interesting way to look at it.
I want to talk about Ivan Popovich, the hockey player.
Provorov.
And he was,
yes.
Yeah, Provorov. So he was expressing his religious beliefs. But the ironic thing is the only place that he can't express his religious beliefs right now would be in Kiev, because they removed all the Eastern Orthodox priests in the, and they do now do the liturgy there only in Ukrainian.
Wow. So, I didn't know that.
Oh, that, yeah, that was done a while ago. So, and in Ukraine now, they're asking for 300 Abrams tanks. And the Chieftain tanks, they got like 12 of them from England.
Yeah, yeah, and I know Biden is already preparing to send them the money for them. Send them another $3 billion. That's going to up our total to some, what, $140 billion we've sent them already? A nation that is $31.5 trillion in debt. Yeah, they're getting ready to send.
But,
why can't they buy tanks with the last $40 billion that we sent them?
Well, half, only like 30% of the money they estimate is getting there, and the rest is, you know, disappearing. But the things that, that Zelensky is worried about is the promises that we've made. If they'll defeat the Russians and wear the Russians down and weaken them, we'll come in and rebuild there. And he's afraid that what'll happen is like, you know, he'll get the tanks, we'll defeat the Russians and push them out, and then we'll leave them like we do like everywhere else.
Like yeah, exactly right. So that our enemies can, yeah, just thank you for the call, Steve. Just like Afghanistan, so that our enemies can take our own munitions and our own transport vehicles and so forth and use them against our own interests. Thanks for the call. We'll be back after the news.
This hour of Always Right Radio is brought to you by The Floor King and Keeping Medicare Simple.
You and I know and do not believe that life is so dear and peace so sweet as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery. If nothing in life is worth dying for, when did this begin? Just in the face of this enemy? Or should Moses have told the children of Israel to live in slavery under the Pharaohs? Should Christ have refused the cross? Should the patriots at Concord Bridge have thrown down their guns and refused to fire the shot heard round the world? The martyrs of history were not fools. And our honored dead, who gave their lives to stop the advance of the Nazis, didn't die in vain. Where then is the road to peace? Well, it's a simple answer after all. You and I have the courage to say to our enemies, there is a price we will not pay. There is a point beyond which they must not advance.
This is Always Right Radio with Bob France on AM 1420, The Answer.
Hour number three is underway 9 minutes after 11 o'clock. It is a free-for-all Friday, the 20th morning of the first month, year of our Lord, 2023. We're only here in hour number three for the second year now, thanks to the good people at my pair of kings. Mark King and Keeping Medicare Simple teamed up with The Floor King. My good friend Karam Hezrouni and brought us this. There are two named co-sponsors for Hour 3 of this broadcast. So everything we bring you past 11 o'clock is thanks to them. Thanks, of course, to all of my wonderful sponsors of this program. I really value you, and I truly mean that. But this third hour happened because they stepped up, and thank you to both of them for that. Have you downloaded True Blue yet? If you have not yet downloaded True Blue, it's no ease, okay? It's just True, T-R-U, Blue, B-L-U, right? Download that on your smart television or on your smartphone or on your tablet and subscribe to it for a cup of gourmet coffee. That's what it costs you a month for this. It's like a quarter of the price of Netflix. It's the new factual streaming network that I will be having a daily television program on. And in fact, we are shooting daily right now. And these things will be launching probably next week. On the outside, it might take one more week after that, but I think we'll probably launch next week. And I think you're going to love it. It's a factual streaming network in which we feature true crime stories, police stories, takedowns of bad guys, cops in the line of fire, the Iron Sheriff. My program is going to be called True Blue Daily with Bob France. Interviews, commentary, and I really think you're going to enjoy it. It costs $5 a month, $4.99. It's nothing I mean, seriously, that's a cup of coffee. It's two cups if you buy cheap coffee. It's one cup if you buy gourmet coffee. It's that simple. It's $4.99 a month. It's nothing. It's worth your buy. Please consider downloading it and subscribing. Just go to your App Store or your Play Store or, like I said, on your TV, whatever it is that you use for streaming services. Just go ahead and find True Blue and subscribe to it. I think you are absolutely going to love it. Hey, do you remember when Kamala tried to tell us about geography?
So Ukraine is a country in Europe. It exists next to another country called Russia. Russia is a bigger country. Russia is a powerful country. Russia decided to invade a smaller country called Ukraine. So basically, that's wrong.
That's one of my favorites of all time. Now Kamala, the Vice President of the United States, is going to tell us how electricity works.
Today, America has more than 500,000 miles of transmission lines, enough to wrap around the globe 24 times. These lines connect the power plants where electricity is created to homes and businesses and schools and hospitals across our nation. Think about it. Every time you turn on a light or charge your laptop or plug in your air conditioner or put leftovers in the fridge, you rely on the power delivered by our nation's network of transmission lines.
If she was if she was speaking to a room full of four-year-olds at a preschool or something, I'm like, okay. Because that's how I would talk to them, too. I would talk to them about when you flip that light on, it's not just magic. This is how it works. You know, if I was teaching a lesson on electricity to four-year-olds, that's what I would do. She's speaking to the assembled press, and I don't even know why. I have no earthly idea. But she's speaking to a room full of adults, speaking in the only way she can, in an elementary, simplistic fashion, because she has to be the dumbest human being ever to hold an executive office in this country's history. And when I say executive office, I'm talking about either the president or the vice president. In the history of this country, she has to be the dumbest human being to ever occupy that post. This woman is the latest and best example of what happens when you commit to making a diversity hire. When you say, I'm going to hire somebody because of their race or their sex or their sexual orientation, and you limit yourself to those choices, and you say, I'm going to choose somebody because I want diversity, not quality, not merit, but diversity, this is what you get. This is the result. It's a staggering thing. And you know what else she is? She is the insurance policy. A lot of us thought this when he chose her. And then when she started her, you know, her vice presidential duties, embarrassing herself the way that she has done in so many different places and different ways.
Okay. A friend in need is a friend indeed. Okay, I can first.
Okay, so this time. Szanowna pani redaktor.
A lot of us thought it at the time, and maybe even said it, that she's the insurance policy. She is evidence that Biden is smarter than we think he is. By choosing her, he completely eliminates the prospect of the 25th Amendment being enacted, that a president can be removed for incapacity. Because if he is removed for incapacity or for even this document scandal, that thing is the new president. That's how we know it's never going to happen. She's the ultimate insurance policy. She's his life insurance policy. She's his presidential insurance policy. And now we know it. Now we can not only think it, we can say it, and we can actually watch it play out before our very eyes. Sally is in Berea. Sally, thanks for your patience. You're on AM 1420, The Answer. Go right ahead.
No problem. It's so hard to choose among all those important topics, but I wanted to refer to the March for Life in D.C., and while I agree we can celebrate the Supreme Court decision, there are a lot more fights that are needed to be won in the various states, and I'm hoping that there can be some protection for the crisis pregnancy centers that are so often, and their staffs that are so often vandalized, and that the vandals will even be prosecuted. And I find it ironic that many leftists are loath to define what a woman is, but they were quick to rally before the election around the abortion issue, around a, quote, woman's so-called right to choose. And thank you for your efforts to protect the unborn, Bob.
Yes, thank you, and I appreciate your call, Sally, as always, in your loyal listening. Finally, months and months and months after the worst of the attacks on the crisis pregnancy or on the pregnancy centers, even just, you know, the general health centers for women who are pregnant, the attacks on them in the wake of the Roe v. Wade decision and the leak of the Dobbs decision that led to the you know, to the reversal of Roe v. Wade, those attacks were frequent. Hundreds of pregnancy centers were attacked, and they spray painted signs on the walls that say something like, if my body's not safe for an abortion, then you're not safe, those types of things. And nobody did squat. No one did anything. It was as if it wasn't happening. Turn your head. Now, if an abortion clinic is attacked with things like, you know, prayers, those individuals are arrested. Those individuals are moved. Those individuals are punished. Fined or something. If they're praying too close to an abortion clinic, you're making people feel bad. And apparently that's against the law. But if you firebomb a pregnancy center, a pro-life pregnancy center, you have gotten away with it now for months and months and months. Finally, they're doing something about it. And I'm not sure exactly what the agenda is here. I'm not sure exactly what their goal is now after all of this time, but it literally is in the news today that this is something that the Department of Justice is ordering the FBI to do. After all this time, the FBI is going to investigate these crisis pregnancy centers being attacked. So we'll see where that goes. We'll see whether or not anybody is. It's just the two-tiered system of justice, like we talk about all the time. Trump has his home raided because of the documents. Joe Biden is allowed to have his own personal lawyers just continue to search around without any DOJ or FBI involvement whatsoever. What else is an example of that? The rioters all over the country in the summer of rage in George Floyd's summer of 2020, everybody got off scot-free. Nobody got anything, no matter what they did to cops, no matter what they did to property, no matter what they did to passersby. But, of course, the J6 prisoners are held for 2 years without trial, without access to attorneys, and worse. The two-tiered system of justice is in full on full display. But, yeah, here's the story I was trying to share with you. FBI is now offering a $25,000 reward to sources who can provide information about the suspects responsible for a spate of attacks on the pro-life pregnancy resource centers. The Bureau said in a news release it can investigate the crime as potential acts of domestic violence extremism, freedom of access to clinic entrances act violations, or violent crime matters, according to the facts of each case. The attacks occurred between March 2022 and July 2022 in 8 different states. Again, this is, of course, in response to the Dobbs decision and the leak of the Dobbs decision. So now, months and months and months and months after the fact, now they're going to say, okay, yeah, well, we'll look into it, see if anybody's got anything. Cases have gone cold, trails have gone cold, but now they're going to look into it. What a virtue signaling pile of crap. AC is next in Cleveland. AC, thanks for waiting. You're on the air. Fire away.
Hello, Bob.
Hello, sir.
Earlier you were having a discussion with BJ, and the issue of falling away came up. And I want to confirm that your view of falling away is happening, okay? And I'm going to tie this in with the corrupt crew that's having a meeting now in Davos, Switzerland.
Okay.
Paul the Apostle wrote a letter to the Thessalonians, and in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3, the Thessalonians were deceived that the day of Christ was already at hand. And so Paul wrote, "Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition." Now he's talking about the Antichrist, big A. Goes on and he says, "Whoso opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Now, you have this these people in Davos, Switzerland, that are little a antichrist. They're exalting themselves above common sense and above God also, okay? There's a whole crew of them over there. And they're trying to make everybody all worried and fearful over all this climate change stuff, and they have to save the earth. Well, we don't need somebody to save the earth. And these people, are they're all in cahoots. They're all flying there on private jets. They don't care about their about the carbon they're putting into the atmosphere. And, you know, you have the one guy who was a former presidential candidate here in the United States. He's saying that...
Al Gore?
No, the other guy.
Kerry.
Yeah. Okay. He was talking about how he has this carbon offset that allows him to fly a private jet, whatever that is. So we're seeing little a antichrist, and there one day will be a big A antichrist. And people need to realize that. And in the churches, like you said, there is a falling away. And even so many pastors have failed their congregations by not properly teaching about what's coming. Jesus gave us a whole bunch of end time prophecy. He didn't give it to us just for himself. He gave it to us so that we would know what's coming. And people, so many Christians today are just not informed like they should be.
No, so you're 100% right. And thank you for the call, AC. I appreciate that. I want to just quick follow on that. Particularly about the carbon thing, this is just the tool that they have decided to use, as you say, for essentially, you know, the end times, for the Antichrist to truly, you know, take over and rise to power. This is just one of the tools. Carbon is not the enemy. This is a hoax. This is a made-up, manufactured worldwide crisis that they can use to bring everybody under their boot heel. Daniel Horowitz wrote about this, and I'll quote him, "Carbon dioxide is not a pollutant. We could not live without it. Our food comes through photosynthesis, which works off of the very carbon dioxide climate alarmists are trying but failing to expunge from the air. The entire premise that carbon is bad and that green energy, a.k.a. de-evolution of society, will somehow mitigate carbon levels in the atmosphere and change the climate is as absurd as stopping a respiratory virus with a mask. Furthermore, the notion that you can and should somehow capture the carbon in the air in substantial quantities in a cost-effective way is lunacy, yet most Republicans buy into it." And Daniel's piece is about when are the Republicans going to stand up against this nonsense? They're supposed to be the party of common sense and reason, fighting against the gangrene of the left. That's what I call the climate alarmists, the gangrene. And he goes on to quote... the most recent numbers by the recorded by the NOAA, that's the National Oceanic Atmospheric Administration, and asks you to make sense of this. In the same year that renewables, talking about renewable energies such as the solar and the wind, increased by 12%, and the use of coal decreased by 8%, U.S. carbon emissions still ticked up by 1.3%. This is in 2022. Meanwhile, despite increasing CO2 levels over the past decade, regardless of our energy policies, NOAA data shows no evidence of any warming of the planet since 2015. You catch that? In the last 8 years, we have not warmed one single bit. We have cut fossil fuel emissions. We have increased renewables. Carbon still went up, and the planet did not warm. We are being scammed because they don't care about your air quality. They don't care about the planet. They don't care about trees. They don't care about any of it. They care about control. How do we keep the populace under our boot heel? Keep them terrified to breathe. If you breathe, and if you start your car, and if you eat a steak, you're contributing to your own death. You're contributing to the death of the planet. You're contributing to the death of your children and your children's children if you do any of those things. And that's a pretty strong thing to tell people. But that's what they're doing. How do we keep them under our heel? We keep them terrified of their own existence. I'll be back.
Liberty and holding the line against the darkness of tyranny. Always Right Radio with Bob Frantz and The Answer.
11:37. Got time for a few more phone calls. Also time to give you this. I gave you a taste of it yesterday. I think it deserves another taste today. A masterclass on what journalism looks like. Asking questions and re-asking questions and grilling people who deserve to be grilled. Journalism used to be about that. Reporting used to be about that. That's a lost art at NBC, ABC, CBS, PBS, MSNBC, and CNN. Even at Fox most of the time. But at Rebel Media, that's not a lost art. Two intrepid Rebel reporters grabbed, not literally, but got in front of the CEO of Pfizer when he arrived in Davos for the World Economic Forum Summit. Pfizer, you know, the drug cartel that is more dangerous than the Sinaloa cartel. They grabbed him and asked him.
Mr. Borlaug, can I ask you, when did you know that the vaccines didn't stop transmission? How long did you know that without saying it publicly?
Thank you very much.
Are you worried about product liability? Are you worried about myocarditis?
If any other product in the world doesn't work as promised, you get a refund. Should you not refund to countries that laid out billions for your ineffective vaccine?
Are you used to only sympathetic media, so you don't know how to answer any?
So they went on like that for about 4 minutes of walking as they steered him toward wherever it is he was going in Davos for the summit. And they just grilled him and they asked what needed to be asked. Your product was billed and you advertised it as, and you promoted it as, clinically proven to stop the spread of the infection of COVID-19. You said if you take the shot, you will not get COVID. You said if people take the shot, they will not spread COVID. Then you said, well, you know, there was in some early trials, but it's 90% effective. 90% of the people won't get COVID. And then, well, maybe 80%. And it just kept on going and going. And now if you only get the first two shots, it's not going to work. Of course not, but you need the booster. And then you said if you got the third booster, it's going to be marginally better, but you need the fourth booster. How many boosts and how many more billions of dollars per shot or collectively over those shots is going to take before you finally say out loud, okay, it doesn't work. Leave me alone, it doesn't work. I retire now. Bye. And they got him. They got him. And the question is when is somebody going to hold him accountable? Joanne, excuse me, is in Twinsburg. Joanne, you're on AM 1420, The Answer. Fire away.
Good morning. I just wanted to see if you saw this. I think I saw it on Newsmax, you know, which we lament about the Gang of 22 in Columbus.
Yeah.
Texas has got the same problem. They've got a majority, not as big as ours, but their head of their legislature that's a Republican is giving chairs to the Democrats so they can control what's going on in the committees. I don't get this. What is wrong with these Republicans?
Well, you know, when I was talking to, I forget who I was talking to yesterday about this, and we were talking about, you know, being a red state. Oh, I think it was Alex Durantafilou. We were talking about, you know, this being a red state and such a red state. And the reality is there are different shades of red. There's rhino red, which is closer. Hold on, Joanne. There's rhino red, which is closer to pinkish, which is what we have had leading us here. And apparently that's what's leading in Texas. The number of people who are truly deep red, meaning the red that's in the flag, the red that's in that flag that we pledge our allegiance to every day, that Republican red is very, very hard to find. We only have a few members like that in our state, and apparently it's the same way in Texas. Now go ahead.
Well, you know, because I laugh, you know, you watch like Fox and stuff, you know, and they always count Ohio as this sure red state. And I think to myself, we elected Mike DeWine instead of Jim Renacci. I mean, how red are we? I mean, truthfully. I mean, sure. Okay, we got JD and thank God we did. I mean, I think right now.
Well,
he's
I mean,
if you
just look at it and you don't look at the shade of red, it's true. I mean, we have a 67-member majority in the House. We have a veto-proof majority in the Senate. We have every state office from governor, lieutenant governor, secretary of state, attorney general, all elected Republicans. We have a conservative majority on the Ohio Supreme Court now. We elected Donald Trump twice, even in the year that he quote-unquote lost by 8 points each time. It wasn't even a close race. So if you look at it just through that lens, we are a very, very deeply red state. But the problem is so many of the individuals that I just mentioned are not true conservative red Republicans. They're rhino red. They're almost borderline hot pink. And that's the reality of it.
The other thing I saw, too, in Texas is I guess they're actually trying to recall or get Cornyn to resign, which would be.
That would be a good thing to do. Yeah, that would be. He's a sellout.
There you go.
Yeah, he's a sellout. He is. He is exactly that. Thanks, Joanne. I appreciate the call. Let me get to TJ in Cleveland here. TJ, you're on the air. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, you know, Bob, in response to your one call about John Kerry practicing carbon offset, the best way for him and Al Gore to practice that would be to stop breathing.
Shut up. I was going to say stop talking.
Yeah. But no, the reason I called, you know, a couple of years ago I was at a park and a man was playing with a Frisbee with his dog, and he had a sweatshirt on that said, "Don't bother me, my dog is more behaved than your kid." And some of the women took great offense to that. Now, I see this news story yesterday out of Alaska where this couple started a dog exercising business. They have a bus. Every day they pick up 12 dogs, okay, and then they take them out for a long hike. These dogs patiently sit and waiting for the bus. When the door opens, they get on and they walk right to an assigned seat and sit there very behaved for the whole trip. And then I'm thinking about things I seen on the news when they show these video cams on school buses. These kids are wild. They're out of control. Yet these dogs, very behaved, sit there the whole trip, no problems, no fighting, no nothing. Maybe this guy was right with his sweatshirt.
So the theme of your call is dogs good, kids bad.
No, the theme of my call is who's the dumb animals here?
Well, it depends on who's training them. Animal trainers sometimes do better with canines than they do with Homo sapiens. I think that is something. And you want to know why? Here's why. In my opinion, because you're still allowed to use physical force to train your dog. You're still allowed to pull that choke collar when you're trying to get him to learn something. You're still allowed to smack his little haunches with the newspaper if he's taking a dump in the wrong place. You're still allowed to use physical force to train your dog. You're not allowed to spank your kid. And that's one of the reasons why our kids are the way they are. That's how I'm going to leave that conversation. TJ, have a great weekend. Thank you. Thank you. Excuse me. Thank you to Lisa, my guest. Thank you to Johnny and Marianne and Marcy, my team. And thank you to you, obviously, for listening, and especially to all my sponsors. Make sure you download True Blue, by the way, and subscribe to that. Make sure you check out the Stand and Deliver podcast today, and make sure that you visit all of our sponsors. That's why we're here. Hope you have a great weekend. Stay safe, stay free, and we'll see you Monday. Bye-bye.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.